In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You may be seated. We heard in the gospel lesson just now from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, the story of Jesus visiting his friends in Bethany. Even though the St. Luke doesn't identify the town, we know from other visits and from the other evangelists that it was the town of Bethany, just on the other side of the Mount of Olives, very close to Jerusalem, where he visited on multiple occasions. And we wonder why we read this gospel on this feast of the Assumption, that is the dormition or the falling asleep of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Theotokos. Well, I've said it before that this account, gospel account, which features another Mary and her sister, really creates and presents an image of much of what this feast has to do with. In fact, this Mary becomes an icon, if you will. She, in some ways, prefigures the glory of Mary, the mother of our Lord, and what this day represents. For in the end of the account, we hear Jesus saying that Mary has chosen that good part. Mary has chosen that good part. I had a friend of mine I grew up in all through school with, Joe Howard, who lived up on the mountain, and we went off after graduation. We were one of three guys here from the Thurmont area, Steve Schumacher being the other, that went to the University of Maryland. And so we hung out together even at University of Maryland. One of the things, and Joe loved, as many people do around here, Joe loved to eat Maryland steamed crabs, especially in the summertime. But he had the most unique way of eating hard shell crabs I've ever seen. He would sit and he would pick and pick and pick through crabs, and he would save the meat. He would have a big pile of meat, and when he felt that he had enough meat to eat, after all that picking of crabs, he would sit there and relish. He said that he would say, "This is the good part, being able to eat it." And most people like me just don't have the patience for that. You know, we break through the crabs, we maybe get our fingers cut, but anytime we've got a little morsel of meat, we've got to have that immediate reward. And in this gospel account, we learn something about the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, through the lives of these two sisters. For you see, we have Martha and Mary. Now they are pious, devoted sisters, devoted to our Lord. And the church fathers are very clear in not misunderstanding this. This is not a strict reproach of Martha. It is not Jesus' criticism of Martha, but rather, in fact, St. Ambrose says that virtue of devotion comes in different forms. And here we have the virtue of devotion by service, by busyness. And not just busyness, but through action, through serving. This, in many ways, would be representative of like the deacon's ministry within the church. Jesus does not condemn Martha for her serving. Jesus, rather, is highlighting the good part. The good part, that is, Mary choosing to sit at the feet of Jesus, to bask in his presence. And even as Martha goes to the Lord, kind of grousing, and say, "Lord, don't you care that I'm the only one waiting on you, and I'm running my feet off, while my sister sits there just doing nothing but listening to you." Now, St. Ephraim, the Syrian, said, "We cannot count Martha any less devoted to our Lord." In fact, it was Martha, he reminds us, that went running first to the Lord at his coming prior to the resurrection, after Lazarus had died, after he had been fallen asleep and had been laying in the tomb. It was Martha who got up and came and ran to Jesus. So we should not mistake one form of devotion as being necessarily inferior in terms of their own devotion, but rather we see the virtue of both service and action coming together with this devotion of stillness, quietness, of basking before the Lord, of sitting and hearing the Word of God in the presence of God. You see, the service of Martha isn't what Jesus was criticizing. It wasn't the service itself. That was a beautiful gift to our Lord. But rather, what he was pointing out was that Martha had taken a very beautiful gift of service, and she allowed all of the busyness around it to distract her, to trouble her, such that she became focused upon herself, her sister, in a way that was critical of her sister and her appeal to the Lord. But our Lord reminds us that Mary has chosen the good part, the better part. She's chosen to sit in my presence, to be transformed, to hear the Word of God. The Blessed Virgin Mary, we know, whose Assumption we celebrate tonight, is also a woman who has chosen the good part, the better part. Here was a young lady, a young woman, a virgin, who was called of God through the angel Gabriel to be the mother of God, to conceive when she had not even married the man to whom she was betrothed. Betrothed, yes, but not yet married. And we can only imagine the emotional pain that she suffered, the scandal that this created in this little town for this young woman who was betrothed but not yet married, who is now pregnant. And so we can only imagine that she was an object of scorn and judgment, self-righteous judgment, and critical abuse. And we know, of course, the hardships that she endured in having to go to Bethlehem and having to return and having to flee to Egypt when our Lord was just a boy. And of course, we know the great pain that she endured when her heart was pierced, when her son, when this man whom she had nurtured was now being hung upon a cross, suffering a torturous death and execution. Mary, no doubt, suffered the pains of this life, the troubles of this life, and yet she, unlike Martha, chose the good part, to live above the transitory, the temporal things that afflict us, that distract us from this great gift. That even at this precipice of death, first the death of her son, and then her own death, we see a wonderful gift. First at the death of her own son, among Jesus' dying words, and looking down from the cross, he says to the beloved disciple John, "Behold your mother. Behold your mother." And to his mother, he says, "Behold your son." Our Lord gave Mary as a gift to the apostles. As a gift to the apostles. And he gave Mary, the apostles, as a gift of care and nurture for the rest of her life in providing for her. So there, Mary, even enduring the pain, the psychological pain of her son's death, chose the good part. And then at her own falling asleep, which we celebrate this day, Mary is taken up into heaven. After falling asleep, she, like all of us who bore the immortality which happened as a result of the fall, yet was without stain, was all holy, did not see corruption. And as a gift, our Lord assumed her bodily into heaven. Her tomb not having the rot of death, but the glorious smell of flowers, of roses, signifying this miraculous event. But something else that we should know about this day is that a gift, the Lord has given a gift to us as well. Through the falling asleep of Mary, who became the mother of the apostles, she sitting at and now crowned in glory next to her son, interceding for the church, has now become the mother of us all. The mother of us all. This is the good part. This is the gift that our Lord has ordered from the beginning of eternity, from before eternity, in eternity past, in the heart of God, that we would not be left as orphans, that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that through the intercessions of His mother, our mother at His right hand, interceding on our behalf, that we can even approach our own deaths, knowing that our mother has our name upon her lips, interceding at the moment of our death. For she, thank God, has chosen the good part. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.